Thanks for checking out the Candeo podcast. To learn more about us, visit us at CandeoChurch.com.
Well, good morning, Candeo family. How are we doing this morning? All right, let's bring some energy today. I'd love to ask you this simple question as we get started. What is your I walked on the moon story? And if you're like, that doesn't make any sense, let me just unpack this, guys. And I'm going to butcher this a little bit, but do yourselves a favor. Like, first note that you're writing down this morning. Sometime today, go onto YouTube and just search up Brian Regan, I walked on the moon. Brian Regan's like one of my favorite comedians, and he's got this bit about how he's got this weird social fantasy about how he would love to be one of the 12 astronauts that walked on our moon, because you would have the story to top anybody else's story. And he paints this picture about being at a dinner party where you have someone, he calls that person the me monster. And you know who that person is, right? Like, whenever you're in like a social gathering, it's the person who like continues to bring out a story that every time somebody else tells a story, like they bring out one that tops that, right? Like that somehow like the spotlight like always ends up back on them. You know the person, right? You're sitting there at the dinner table and all of a sudden they're like, oh, that ain't nothing. And they start going on and on about the global enterprise that they got to keep checking in on, the fleet of sports cars they keep in Zurich for driving on the Autobahn, the company in the Pacific Rim they're about to take over, how the runways in Aspen are shorter the first time that you land on them, and all these things, right? Like, you know the person, and he's like, here's my fantasy. I just want to like a good fisherman, just kind of like set the hook and like let him run with the line for a while. And just at that like perfect moment where all of a sudden they finally like take a breath, you know, you kind of just insert in there real simply, well, I walked on the moon. You know, like just the power of that moment. I mean, that would be the mic drop of all mic drops. That would be the flex of all flexes, right? You know? So now with a little bit more context, think back to the question, what is your I walked on the moon story? What is that thing that you like, you keep nestled in your back pocket at all moments, ready to pull that out whenever you feel like you need it? What is that for you? For the last 4 months or so, we've been unpacking Paul's letters to the churches in Galatia, and it's all been leading to this point. And if you're new this morning and you have missed everything in our series to this point, you're going to be okay. In fact, if you're like not new this morning and you're kind of switching from summer mode, we know this exists, like you're switching from summer mode to school year mode, and your attendance has been a little bit spotty, or just like mentally you've been a bit checked out. If to this point, like you've not been tracking with us, you're gonna be okay, because what Paul is going to do this morning is he's going to, in these last seven verses, give a recap of everything he said to this point and give one final appeal. And at the crux of this final appeal is this word, boast. Boast. I don't know what comes to your mind when you like think of that word boast, but I am immediately hit with this tidal wave of negative connotations. Like, I am hardwired that like boasting, and if I go to the thesaurus and I see other words like it, like anything like boasting or resembling boasting or bragging or flaunting or gloating or showboating, or another word that the thesaurus gave me was to cock-a-doodle-doo. Like, that seemed a bit interesting. But anything that would resemble like boasting or cock-a-doodle-dooing or whatever, like, especially for a Christian, just seems wrong, doesn't it? But yet here is Paul, God's servant messenger, using the word in a positive way. Paul is telling us, this is your I walked on the moon story. Let this just settle in your minds this morning. God wants us to boast. Here's a key truth for us. Boasting isn't wrong. It's just often misdirected. And what God wants to do today is he doesn't want us to get like to stop boasting. He just wants us to redirect our boasting, to stop boasting in the wrong things and to start boasting in the right thing. So if you're tracking with us this morning, you've got a Bible, I'd love for you to join us in Galatians chapter 6, verse 11. If not, it'll be on the screens. But as Paul closes his letter, he writes out, look at what large letters I am using as I write with my own handwriting, right? He knows these men, these women, these young people, these children that he's writing to. He loves them and he cares for them deeply. To this point, Paul has likely been dictating his words to somebody else who's been writing them down for him. Now he grabs the pen himself for the final words, and he's writing in all caps. If you drifted off, if everything I've said to this point has gone over your heads, if you forget everything else and only remember one thing, don't miss this. Those who want to make a good impression in the flesh are the ones who would compel you to be circumcised, but only to avoid being persecuted for the cross of Christ. For even the circumcised don't keep the law themselves, and yet they want you to be circumcised in order to boast about your flesh. I'll pause here, because God is drawing a line in the sand this morning, and you're not allowed to stand in the middle. You have to pick a side today. But there are two messengers that are in opposition here, and there are two messages in opposition here. First, I want to talk about the two messengers that are opposing one another here. In one corner, we have Paul, who's writing this letter. He has personally encountered Jesus and has been personally sent out by Jesus, and he paid dearly for it. When you skip down to verse 17, you see him reference, "I bear on my body the marks of Jesus." He's not speaking figuratively. These are real scars that he wears on his body. Some of the scars were from whips, some were from rods, others were from stones. But regardless of the tool that was used to create the scar, the reason for them was all the same. It was what he boasted in that got him those scars. What he boasted in was simply this, that we are made right with God through Christ by faith alone. That was the message that had changed his life, that God had given him, and Paul's aim in his life was to take that pure and simple gospel, the gospel that had changed his life, that he knew was the power of salvation, and to share it with others, because he knew it was not just the power of salvation for him, it was the power of salvation for all that would hear and respond by faith. So you have Paul in one corner, and the other corner you have these other teachers in Galatia. If Paul's desire was to turn the affections of people to God, these teachers, their desire was to turn the affections of people to themselves. They sought fame and influence. They were after clicks, followers, subscribers. They taught a message that allowed them to avoid the hardships that Paul faced, a message that didn't rock the boat, a message that was more palatable to the world around them. And on top of all of this, if all of that wasn't bad enough, Paul calls them out, they're hypocrites. They were calling their followers to a standard that they themselves couldn't keep. They preached, obey the law. 613 Old Testament commands, and they were putting a burden on their shoulders, their followers' shoulders, that they themselves couldn't keep. We have two opposing messengers, and we have two opposing messages. And spotting the difference between them comes down to this simple word, again, boast. Have you guys ever heard of the phrase fatal flaw? Like when I say that, do you know what I'm talking about? Like a fatal flaw, if you don't know what that is, like a fatal flaw is a glaring weakness that causes something not to work. Like for example, when I was about 10 years old, I decided to make a boat. My general concept was pretty solid, actually. You're already starting to doubt my abilities. My dad had just ordered something for the farm. We had this very like large shipping crate that was kind of oblong and like low profile type of thing. And I realized if I could just take a bunch of boards and kind of nail it around as tight as possible, I had kind of like a natural boat shape. So I nailed all the boards close like together, very tight, had small cracks. Then I even sealed all of those cracks, painted it, christened it with the best name I could come up with at the time as a 10-year-old, the Mississippi Queen. There was just one small problem. I'd recently watched an episode of Flipper. And if that means nothing to you, Flipper was a television show where there was a hero that saved people's lives, and the hero was a dolphin. So, make sense? For like those who don't know what Flipper is. Okay, so Flipper was a superhero dolphin of sorts. So, but in this episode of Flipper that I'd seen, they had this really cool boat that had a hole in the middle of it that like you could open up this like door, and then like you could look down in the water. You could even like drive with the boat with this like hole open, and you could like see the fish in the water, and then like Flipper would pop his head up, you know, in between the hole, and they like feed him and stuff. And I thought like that would be awesome to have in my boat. So drawing some inspiration from Flipper, I worked really hard and diligently on this boat, and as the final step in its construction, I cut a hole, like a one by one, like square hole in my boat, dragged the thing over to the river, threw it in, and Titanic to the bottom. In fact, that's not even fair, like, because the Titanic stayed above the water for a little while. I mean, I just went straight down. I mean, it was just straight down. And you may be wondering, like, where were your parents in all of this? My mom was there holding the camera. So we have pictures of this, which is why this is like one of my favorite stories. Like when my kids see the picture, they're like, what were you doing? I'm like, I thought putting a hole in the bottom of my boat would be a great idea. It didn't work. Right? Turns out that's a fatal flaw. Like putting a hole in the bottom of your boat will cause it not to float. There's a fatal flaw here. There's a hole in the middle of the boat here in the message that these teachers brought to Galatia. And it was what they boasted in. Go back to the second half of verse 13. It says, they want you to be circumcised in order to boast about your flesh. But as for me, this is Paul saying, I will never boast about anything except the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. In answering the fundamental life-changing question of how is a person made right with God, there is a right answer and wrong answers. How is someone made right with God? Their answer was to boast, to brag, to flaunt, to showboat, to cock-a-doodle-doo about the flesh, what they could do. That is where they put their confidence. And like I said, God's drawing a line in the sand this morning. You can't stand in the middle. You have to pick a side. I'm asking you this morning, church family, where do you place your confidence? When I ask the question, how is a person made right with God? What is your answer? What do you boast in? Now, good Christian people in the room all over the place are like, it's Jesus. I know that one. Like, you know, I could even just guess it's Jesus and it would be right. I think we got it in our heads. Let me just ask you, like, to be honest for a second. I'm going to give you just a simple test because I want to move beyond just like I know the answer to like what actually happens at a gut level when you disappoint God. So let me ask this question this way. I'm just going to tweak it just a little bit. When you fail, when you do something that disappoints God, what happens at the gut level? I know we can sit here in this moment, shout out the right answer, but what happens at the gut level when you disappoint God? What happens? What is your usual response? Because if your response in that moment where you know you've disappointed God, if your response is despair or apathy, that like the thoughts that are going through your head is like, man, the hole's been dug too deep. Or what's the point of even trying? Like if that's your response, you're boasting in the power of sin. Even that time when you know that you failed, when you've done something that disappoints God, if your usual response is to try harder, right? So this is a different angle. It's not despair or apathy, but you try harder. You give yourself a little pep talk. Get it together. Or you're sitting there, you know, in a connection group environment, you're like, you're right, I need to do that. Like, I need to get that part figured out in my life. If that's you, you're not boasting in the power of sin, you're boasting in the power of you. I need to do that. I need to get that figured out. I need to get it together. You're boasting in the power of your flesh. But if your response in that time, when you know that you failed, is not despair or apathy. It's not to try harder. It's not to boast in the power of sin. It's not to boast in the power of you. But your response in those times of failure is to just pause and let out a quiet prayer. Thank you, Jesus. I was. And in reality, I still kind of am. And in reality, I still kind of always will be a train wreck. And yet you paid for it all. Past, present, and future. It's all paid for in full. Thank you, Jesus. If that's you, if that's what happens at the gut level, then you are boasting in the power of the cross. Friends, a line has been drawn in the sand. Where do you stand? Where do you actually stand? Because what we need to do is we need to follow Paul's lead this morning. When he says there in Galatians 6:14, I will never boast about anything. I will never boast about how good I've been, because that doesn't make me right with God. I'll never boast about how great my family is or how great my kids are, my parents, or the inheritance of faith that I come from, because that doesn't make me right with God. I'll never boast about how great my church is, because that doesn't make me right with God. I'll never boast about how much money I give, because that doesn't make me right with God. I'll never boast about how much I serve, because that doesn't make me right with God. I'll never boast about what political party I vote for, because that doesn't make me right with God. I'll never boast about how big my church is that I help pastor, or how many churches our church has planted, because that doesn't make me right with God. Boasting reflects confidence. And so I'm curious this morning, what is it that you boast in? What is the thing this morning that you need to like fill in the blank and say, I will never boast about? What is that for you? Like if you're taking notes, I want you to fill in that blank. Take a moment. What is that thing that you often boast about? That right now you need to say, I will never boast about. I just shared one of mine. But Paul writes, I will never boast about anything except. Because there is one thing he will boast about. There is one thing he will brag about. He'll flaunt. He'll showboat. He'll cock-a-doodle-doo about. And that is the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. Because as I said before, boasting isn't wrong. It's just often misdirected. And here's the danger. That misdirected boasting puts us at odds with God and the gospel. You catch that? Boasting isn't wrong. It's just often misdirected. But misdirected boasting puts us at odds with God and the gospel. That's why it's dangerous. It's incredibly costly to get this wrong. Conversely, though, if you get this right, redirected boasting in Jesus alone allows God to do something in us that we could never do for ourselves. When we get this right, it changes everything for us. Look at verse 14. But as for me, I will never boast about anything except the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. The world has been crucified to me through the cross, and I to the world, for both circumcision and uncircumcision mean nothing. What matters instead is a new creation. The gospel of Jesus Christ is not about boasting in what can be done with human hands, but boasting about what only can be done by Jesus alone. The gospel of Jesus Christ is about God's power, not willpower. It's about inward change, not external changes. It's about a new heart, not better behavior. It's about a new creation, not DIY makeovers. Religion based on the externals might bring you a great reputation. It might make you feel good about yourself, but it can never make you right with God. Only Jesus can do that. And if you want to be made right with God, you must be a new creation. And if you want to be a new creation, you must boast in only one thing, the cross of Jesus Christ. And you cannot boast in Jesus and something else at the same time. Jesus will not share the platform. He will not share the stage. He will not share the spotlight. it's fun to just pause and reflect on that phrase that Paul drops in there, new creation. I want you to understand, when he says new creation, right? What matters is a new creation. He's talking about more than just a fresh start. Like when your iPhone is acting up and you just like power down and then like start it back up. That's not a new creation. It's the same iPhone, just restarted. So when he's talking about new creation here, he's not talking about a fresh start. He's not talking about just merely a second chance. He's not talking about like the slate has been wiped clean. He's not talking about a new beginning. He's not talking about how we've been just simply forgiven. All of those statements fall short of the full beauty of what it means to be a new creation. Because all of those statements are true. Yes, you are forgiven. Yes, there is a fresh start. Yes, there is a second chance. But more, being a Christian or a new creation is more than that, because the you is a totally new you. And your reality is completely different. Like the exterior of the car may look the same, but everything under the hood is brand new. You may look like the old you, but you don't sound the way you used to sound. You don't run the way you used to run. You don't go the directions you used to go. You're a new creation. I recently sat down with a friend of mine. His name's JJ. He's just one of like the many awesome displays of God's work in our church family. And I sat him down, and I just had a simple question to ask him. And I just said, hey, can you just tell me, how has Jesus changed you? Because like for 4 years now, I've had a front row seat in the life of like my friend JJ, watching his transformation. And JJ would describe his story, and like we do this sometimes, like he's like, I got kind of one of those like boring God stories, you know, like JJ wasn't previously like a criminal or an addict. He wasn't at one point dying of cancer or angry with God. In fact, he can't even pinpoint the exact moment that like everything changed for him. But what JJ can do is he can describe in vivid detail what the old JJ was like. He began to describe the old JJ. He used phrases like full of fear and sadness, gripped with anxiety, racked with guilt, and overwhelmed with shame. That was his life. Externally, to most people, they would have thought he was doing great. Passing in and out of the doors of church his whole life, they would have thought he was doing great. When I asked the question then, so how has Jesus changed you? You know, from the old JJ to the new JJ, he's like, man, how has Jesus changed me? Everything about me has changed. He's like, the best way I could describe it is like, it's like a snake shedding its skin. You know, like everything about who I was is different now. You know, all of the fear and the sadness and the shame and the guilt has been replaced with freedom, with joy, with a hunger to know him. And guys, I'm telling you, like, JJ is the dude in my life that like just seems like he cannot get enough. He's just constantly just eating up God's word and just desiring to be around other godly men and women and just be poured into and to encourage and to shape. He went on to describe, he said, when I start feeling the weight of the world, I remind myself that I am a new creation. My reality is different now. What he was speaking to there is exactly what Paul was referencing in verse 14 when he says, the world has been crucified to me. The world is now dead to me through the cross and I to the world. The previous temptations and motivations and thoughts and fears that I had and things that gripped me and the things that the world throws at me used to matter so much. All of that has gone. And everything is new. Can we just take some time this morning and just boast in what the Lord has done for us who have trusted in Christ? Can we just boast in the Lord together? Kind of like what JJ and I were doing at that table, just going back and forth, just celebrating God's work. Can we just do that together? Here's what God tells us. If anyone is in Christ, If anyone has placed their faith in Christ, you are a new creation. What that means is you have been given a new heart with new desires. The old is gone, the new has come. And not only do you have new desires within you, you now have a new power to actually live out those new desires. God has placed his spirit in you, something you did not have before, to now enable you to follow him in ways you were not able to follow him before. And here's the crazy thing, even then, if you stumble, even then, if at some point you have a moment where like the old you pops up and overpowers the new you and wins out in that moment and you fail, you live under a new reality. You don't have to jump on this treadmill of like self-salvation and burn off like the sin calories. You don't have to worry about that, because what God tells us is there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. So that's good news. So you have a new heart, you have new desires, you have a new power, you live under a new reality, and even more. We are not simply made right with God through faith in Jesus Christ. You have been unchangeably adopted as a son or a daughter of his. He has slapped his name on the back of your jersey, and he's proudly walking around going, "That's my kid." Like, one of my favorite things is when one of my kids throws on their new jersey and it's got that name Klein on the back of it, and they go out on the field and they maybe are doing awesome or terrible. I don't care. I'm like, that's my kid. That's God toward you. If you are a new creation, if you are in Christ today, and more. Not only do you live with this new heart, these new desires, this new power, this new reality, this unchangeable adoption, there's more. No matter what happens to us in this world, none of it changes your unshakable future. Because that Holy Spirit that God has given you has sealed you as a guarantee, as a down payment of a future inheritance that God has for you that will not spoil or fade as time passes, but is inching closer to you day by day. When he says new creation, he means all of that. And guys, I didn't do any of that for myself. Jesus did that for me. That's my story. That's my song. That's your story. That's your song. Is it? That's it. So let's fix something. When you tell your story, who's the hero that you often celebrate the most? Like when you're telling your story to people and you say, "Man, I was a mess, but," who gets the credit at that point? I was a mess, but is the next word there I? I was a mess, but I. I was a mess, but salt company. I was a mess, but my connection group. I was a mess, but Jake gave this message. I was a mess, but Cody gave this message. I was a mess, but who gets the credit? Who's the hero of your story? Can we fix that today? Can we just like, I know like we want to love our friends and we love like celebrating salt company or different things around us, whatever. Like those are like there's a good heart desire in there, but we're giving credit where credit isn't due. Right? If we're going to boast about something, if we're going to tell our story, let's just make sure the hero of our story is Jesus. Can we do that? Because there's only one hero. There's only one boast. I was a mess, but Jesus. And if I'm going to boast, if I'm going to brag, if I'm going to flaunt, if I'm going to showboat, swagger, or cock-a-doodle-doo, that's it for me. You know, church, that's it for us. That's our only boast. This is our mic drop. This is our I walked on the moon story, the story that beats anybody else's story. That's our boast. So bringing this series to an end, I would love to pray. And as we pray, I just want to give some time here. So I just want you to bow your heads, close your eyes. Let's enter into prayer together, but I'm actually going to give you space to talk to God. before I talk to God for us. But I want you to start first by just confessing. Confess to the Lord, where is it that you often boast? What is it that you often boast about? What was that thing that you've kind of filled in the blank earlier, the thing that you often boast about? You just own that? Confess that to the Lord. So we're going to confess it, and now we're going to set it aside and say, okay, I'm no longer going to boast about that thing, right? So we're going to move from confession. Now, I just want you to thank Jesus for what he has done for you. As we walk through that new creation realities, what was it that you found yourself just celebrating the most in your heart? Was it that you have a new heart or new desires? That you have a new power? That you live under a new reality? There's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Is it that you have this unshakable adoption? Is it that you have this unshakable future? What is it? Just thank Jesus with me. And now can we commit ourselves through prayer that Jesus will be the hero of our story. Every time we tell it, that Jesus will be our only boast. Forget human accomplishments and whatever's been done by human hands. But make a declaration, a commitment to the Lord that this is my story. This will be my song. I will praise you, Jesus, every day, every day, every day of my life. Lord God, thank you for your undeserved goodness to us. Thank you for your word and your promises that are true, that we can build our life upon. And thank you, Lord, for forgiving us when we boast in other things and forget to make it clear that you're the hero of our story. And God, now open our mouths to sing your praise, to tell the story that is true, the story that defines our lives, and the story we'll take with us as we leave this place to boast about everywhere we go. Amen.
This has been a message from Candeo Church. To learn more about us or to hear more messages, visit us at CandeoChurch.com.